Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Hello, my class, and welcome to the James Rice Show. Yeah, broadcasting in beautiful, sunny Toronto, Canada, and over 60 countries around the world tuning in. Yeah, and you guys are listening to us on Apple's podcasts, Android Stitcher app, and Amazon's TuneIn. Yeah. Welcome, everybody. We have an amazing interview today with an amazing lady named Rachel Weinstock. She is a motivational speaker and a teacher for kids. She's also known as Rainbow Fairy. Yeah, I think one of her students called her that. It's a great nickname, isn't it? It's great, Rainbow Fairy. So she's going to be coming on the show to talk about teaching kids. All right, it's in our next segment, and you gotta listen to it, okay? You gotta stick with the show, listen to it, because it is a really, really great interview. She is she's very inspiring, and we have a great, great chat. You know, teaching kids, for me, teaching kids, wow, it was really, really tough. And you know what? It's the only job I've ever been fired from. Yes, I was terrible, really. Kids are just brutally honest. You know, I don't know how many times, you know, they walk in and they're like, oh, you are bald. Yes. Yes, I am bald. Thank you. Or, oh, you are fat. Yes. Yes. Yes, I am fat. Or, oh, why do you have two chins? Yes, I have two chins. Yeah. So they are just, you know, wow, brutally honest. Now, I have gotten better. I have gotten better because I have my own kids. I have two boys and I raised them. But when I was starting out as a teacher, you know, I was put into a room, and it was in Japan, to teach kids. And in Japan, the parents watch you. I think in other countries too, I think in China and Korea, I think in Asia, the parents are invited into the classroom to watch the teacher. And this was the first time I had ever taught kids. And I've got these parents watching me. And why do you guys do that? Why are you guys in that classroom? It was very, 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 I was very nervous, and I totally bombed. And you know that, you know what a bomb is, right? It was a bomb. And I was supposed to do an hour lesson, but I was done in about 15 minutes. You know, it was terrible. And so I was fired. And then I tried, you know, maybe I would tutor one child. They asked me to tutor one child. And I thought, okay, you know, maybe not so bad. I will try that out. And I thought it would be better, but it was not. The kid was very hyper, or like ADD, you know, attention deficit disorder. You know, one of those kids. I mean, they're kids, so they don't want to study. I get it. But he was very, very energetic, very out of control. And when I came out of the classroom, everybody was like, James, what happened? You know, my clothes were all messed up. My hair was all messed up. Yes, I did have hair at that time. You know, and I was just exhausted. I was exhausted. And, you know, the kid wanted to play. And he just kept punching me. Just kept punching me in the belly. He loved my belly. So, you know, and I'd already failed once and I didn't want to fail again. But after that, I knew I just didn't have the ability to teach kids. And I think you teachers out there that are teaching, you know, elementary school and the young kids. And I always had trouble with kind of age 9 to 12 year old, that middle school or junior high school, perhaps you call it. I always had trouble with those students, always. They were really tough for me. So I have a great respect for the teachers out there teaching kids, especially those middle school kids and even the elementary school kids, where it's so much energy. And, you know, it's so hard to maintain that energy on a daily basis. It's exhausting and it's tough. And, you know, until, of course, I had my own kids and they were born and, you know, I developed that kind of my father voice, like, sit down, son. I learned to control and focus kids much, much better. But at the start of my teaching career, man, it was terrifying. It was really terrifying. So let's see later in the show what Rachel says and, you know, if she's got any help or advice for me. Coming up also later are questions from you, my class. Yeah, you guys have some great questions sent into the James's inbox. So I have to share those. I need to answer those because my inbox is filling up. And that's coming up later. And of course, the idiom of the week. Now, something new for the James Rice Show is our Facebook page. Yes, facebook.com/James Rice Show. Yeah, just, you know, search in the Facebook, search for James Rice Show. Please follow us and share. We should be sharing our episodes, our videos and stories and photos and things like that on Facebook. Now, many of you have found my personal Facebook page and you've sent request to be my friends, but I, you know, it's my personal page, so we decided to kind of open up a community page where it is more public, and I can add videos and maybe do a Facebook Live broadcast and reach out to those people that are part of the James Rice Show classroom. You know, some of my, you know, friends and family, maybe they don't want to see always me posting stuff about the James Rice Show. So please follow us on facebook.com/James Rice Show. And you know what? I've posted up some English lessons that I used to do on video in the past. So their quality is a little bit eh, but it's okay. It's good lessons. They're good lessons. And I've added subtitles in there. So I know some of you, you know, want to read the transcripts of this show, but, you know, it's good for your listening skills. So, but you, on the videos, you get some of the subtitles, so you can follow along on that. All right, now, I do have a correction sent in to me from one of our James Rice Show listeners out there. And you know what? I knew when I said it was wrong. But when you're doing a radio show, or a TV show, or you see those people talking in the media, you know, you say things sometimes that come out the wrong way, or you think, oh, I need to correct that, but you get caught up in the moment, and you don't do it. So last week, I talked about the UK dropping to third place, and I made it seem like the UK is only England. And when I listened to the broadcast again, yeah, it sounded like UK and England kind of were the same thing. So Peter Conway informed me, thank you, Peter, that I was wrong. And Peter, I do know that. And I actually knew that when I was saying it. And I thought that it might be taken the wrong way. And I never corrected myself, but I meant to. So the UK, of course, is made up of four countries. England is one of them. Northern Ireland, Wales, and Scotland. Scotland. If it's not Scottish, it's crap. So I knew it when I said it, and I apologize. But, you know, that shows you, my students, that this show, although recorded, does go out as is. So it's kind of live. There is no editing here. We try to keep it honest. Interviews are not edited, and my segments, you know, go out as they're recorded. So this is good for your listening. And you know what? It's not fake news here, all right? So I'm glad my students are good at correcting their teacher. Yes, and teachers, you have to accept that sometimes you are wrong, all right? So this is an important skill. Students, sometimes you are right, and don't be afraid to share that with your teacher. All right, my class, this week our listeners were pretty consistent from last week. First place remains the United States, with a huge following from the U.S. this week. Brazil remains in second place. Korea jumped up into third. Mexico dropped down to fourth, but remains in the top five listeners. Well done, my Mexicanas. That's two in a row for you guys. And Canada dropped all the way down to fifth place. I guess my family has not come back from vacation yet. All right, and India's been jumping around. India's been very close, India, out there. And we welcome a new country. Yeah, I thought we've covered most of it, but the Ivory Coast in West Africa has joined us. Yeah, Ivory Coast. So our African map is filling in there. And did you know, here's a did you know, that there was a Pepper Coast, okay, also known as the Grain Coast, a Gold Coast, and a Slave Coast. Like the name Ivory Coast, they reflected kind of the major trading that went on back in the early days of Africa. Of course, ivory was the main export of the Ivory Coast. And ivory, if you guys know ivory, it comes from the elephant tusks. So it's the white, kind of like a bone that comes out of the elephant's face or nose there. And so, of course, that was shipped out as a major export. So that's why it was called the Ivory Coast. Yeah, so good did you know. Don't forget, we have YouTube English lessons. This week we posted how to use should in the past. You know, I should have listened to the James Rice Show last week. All right, and we've added a lesson page on the James Rice Show website, www.thejamesriceshow.com, that connects you to our YouTube channel. So when you're on the website, check it out. The videos, you know, just like 2 or 3 minutes, great for teachers, great for students, easy to watch, download, hit subscribe so you get those free video updates. And of course, don't forget to check out our episode pages. This is where you can find background information on what's happening in each episode. And on this episode page, which is episode 31, you can find some background information on Rachel Weinstock, our motivational speaker. And you can actually book her in for a workshop or a motivational speech too. So if you want her to come by your school to speak to your teachers or parents, or even the kids, I'm sure she would do that. You can find that information on episode 31. So, coming up next in our Teacher Talk section, we are going to chat with Rachel Weinstock and discuss teaching kids.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Now it's time for Teacher Talk, James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
I'm pleased to welcome back to the James Rice Show the Rainbow Fairy herself, Rachel Weinstock. Hello, Rachel.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Rachel is a motivational speaker for educators. You can visit her at rachelweinstock.com or follow her on Instagram too at miss_rainbow_fairy. Yes, welcome, Rainbow Fairy.
Thank you.
How have you been?
Good. It's a pleasure to be back.
I understand you watched that new Mr. Rogers film. How was it?
Won't You Be My Neighbor was absolutely one of my all-time favorite movies ever. I cannot recommend it enough to everybody.
What was it about? Was it a documentary?
I think it's categorized as a documentary. It pieces together Fred Rogers' life. And so it has clips from the original show. It has interviews from his widow and people that produced the show. And it also animates different parts of earlier in his childhood. It's just an absolutely moving film.
Why was it so moving? Because I read your Facebook posts about it. You were really, you were genuinely moved by
that. Yeah. Well, for me personally, because I'm an educator and I so deeply experience how deep children's feelings are and how much they need support and tools as they're navigating, you know, for me, it's the school system, but life. And so the way that he connected with children through puppets and voices and music, but just his integrity. Like I grew up watching the show, but when I saw the backstory of why he did what he did, he was an ordained minister, but he never, like that never presented in the show, but he was all about love. Like love was at the core of everything. It's either love or fear. And so his interactions with children were, it's really interesting watching the movie because he's so slow. And that's always what I felt as a child. Like he was very slow to speak. He actually reminds me of my grandfather, but in that space, there was such a profound connection with the children that he was working with. So it's there's a lot of similarities in how I practice my teaching practice and just seeing him. But the biggest thing, and I don't want to do a spoiler, so I won't, but I'll say this. When the movie finished, there was an incredible part at the end, and usually when a movie finishes, I like to just sit with the credits and take in what just happened, but most people will kind of push by and take their popcorn and leave. The entire theater stayed. Like it was just this moment of collective unity, of just kindness and love and empathy and compassion and care for children and care for ourselves. And just, and actually anybody that I've talked to that's seen the movie anywhere in the world, like my American friends, wherever, that's been the same experience, that people don't get up from the movie, which I've never seen before, but it really has a big impact.
Wow. Did they mention Mr. Dress Up?
No, I don't think so.
For those non-Canadian people, Mr. Dress Up was kind of Canada's Mr. Rogers.
Right.
And you know, they worked together in Toronto, Canada.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they worked on they didn't have this in the documentary. I'm disappointed. It was a show called Mr. Rogers, and it ran in Canada for 4 seasons. And then he returned to the U.S. to do the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. And Mr. Dress-Up, who worked with him on the show, stayed in Canada and did, you know, 30 years of his version of Mr. Rogers kind of show. So they split the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, his premise was, he didn't even like television, but he saw... when he was growing up, just this, you know, approach to children's shows, which was, you know, violent and, you know, people hitting themselves over the head or throwing pies in their face. And he really felt that the impact on kids, we had a responsibility because it, you know, so his approach was basically to talk to kids through the television set and approach all different topics. Like they were saying that he was super radical because he was talking about assassination. He was talking about racism, you know, all the divorce, how to deal with your feelings, like a lot of things that people weren't talking about, he was, but he would do it through play. And I really relate to that in my own work. So it was I cannot recommend that film enough to everybody in the world.
Absolutely. And you know what, just a quick aside, I put my kids when they were, you know, 5 or 6 years old. I mean, they were growing up with, you know, Harry Potter and Transformers and all of those types of shows. And I put them down in front of the TV set with Mr. Dress Up. Mm-hmm. And they did not move for 30 minutes. They watched the entire show. It was a DVD. It was fascinating. Right. And I put it on sometimes for adult learners too, old DVDs. And they just kind of watch it. It's fascinating, you know, how they do it. So it never changes. And I don't know why there's not as much out there anymore. Blue's Clues was kind of maybe the last a show that I remember. Maybe there's something out there that I don't know about. But they don't have those shows on anymore. It's too bad.
Well, there's something about the slowness and the creativity and the space in between, and then also the authenticity and compassion and then awareness of what children really need. You know, he said that we have a responsibility to what they're getting, not just to be entertainment, but to really give them. And I really feel that way. I often watch movies that, you know, people have produced, like famous movies, and I just think, there was a tiny bit of a moral lesson or a value, but you could have gone so much further because our world needs that. You know, we really need these morals and values of compassion and empathy and love more than ever, really.
Well, we'll definitely check it out. As I told you, I was going to do it as part of my research before our meeting, but I decided to see Mamma Mia instead. You know, I'm such a sucker for Mamma Mia. Now, as I have confessed to my students out there, I have only been fired from two jobs in my life. One was a dance teacher. That happened 2 months ago, Rachel. Yeah, they fired me, told me to get out. And the other was a kids' ESL teacher in Japan where I was fired. I am totally terrified of teaching kids. And so can you give us some tips to teachers who may be planning to, thinking about, or maybe they already are overseas teaching kids, you know, in China, Japan, Brazil, Mexico, Korea. What's your advice for those teachers?
Yeah, so I want to ask you, if you're open to it, what terrifies you, or what was your biggest challenge? Because maybe we'll start there.
Yeah, that's a good question. So before going into my class, I was told to have many activities. So I planned a whole series of activities, maybe five. And that lasted about 10 minutes. I had another 50 minutes to fill. Right. So I didn't know what to do. I had no idea what to do for the next 50 minutes. And I just totally collapsed. So I had a challenge coming up with activities. What to do with them, what to do with the kids. Because they would work through the activities so quickly. Right. You know, they'd be on to the next one.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe I'll open up with this great story of Japan when I was there. So I was teaching in Japan, and it was my first job with this company. And they had, I mean, this is going back, you know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago, but they had a window where parents could look into the classroom.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had the parents actually in the classroom.
Okay, right. Well, we were also
totally bombing.
Right. Okay. So, well, we were also on video. So,
oh my gosh,
watch us, but we were also, like, you know, being shown in video image different parts of the school. So the pressure was on.
Yeah.
And I was teaching this class. It was called the Busybody class. And let me tell you, the name suited the class because the class was 3-year-olds. And so we had this, you know, song that we were always supposed to start out with, and they walk around in a circle and follow you. Well, these 3-year-olds, for the first 2 months, I did everything. I tried so hard, you know, trying to get them to be engaged, to me being extra engaged, and nothing worked. And I was just dripping sweat and terrified, like everybody, you know, so embarrassing. I'm failing at this.
Yeah.
And one day, and I was
kids are so honest, you know, they're just brutal. They're brutally honest.
And they knew too, like, it wasn't, we don't need language to communicate. They knew that they were running this show. And I was like at a loss for what to do. Well, one day I said, you know what? I have no idea what to do, so I'm going to join them. And so, because I would try and get them to go in this circle, and they just wouldn't, they would run away. Finally, I decided after 2 months, I'm going to chase them, and I'm going to just, like, go along with their energy. So I start chasing them in the circle, and they love it. And then, so they got out all their energy. I kind of interrupted this flow. And then I said, and now stop. And then I got them to focus after that. So then we kind of developed this connection and relationship. So one of the biggest things that you need to do as a teacher with kids is you have to be in flow. So if you've planned 5 activities and it didn't, you know, it's taken up like 10 minutes, 20 minutes of the time, there's like, there's so many things that you just have to kind of be quick on your feet to be like, okay, like, now we're going to do like a drama thing and explore this, or people are going to tell jokes and I want you to come back. Like, you know, you have to kind of, just be quick. I mean, I have a drama background, so that works really well. So, you know, if that's something that people can build in their toolkit, like you don't even have to be a drama major, look up improv games, like that kind of thing. And improv is amazing too, because it doesn't need a lot of language for some of the games. So then you get them laughing and having fun and engaging. So you build this trust. You also build your ability to, stop them, right? So like, they're having fun, so they trust you, they're enjoying themselves, and then you put down a limit, and so then this develops this relationship, you know, that then you have some interaction and control over what's happening. So that's one thing.
You know what I did, you know, after all my activities failed miserably, I turned to the 9-year-old boy that was sitting next to me, and I said, "So tell me about your girlfriend."
Okay. Well, I don't know about that.
I knew I wasn't going to be teaching kids anymore for the rest of my days. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So advice. I mean, the advice is be in flow. You know, try and add as many drama activities to your toolkit as you can. Art activities are great as well.
And I seen you do the puppet shows.
Yes, puppets are amazing.
Yeah.
Puppets are amazing. So, like, the thing is, I think people, okay, as adults, I think we talked about this last time, but as adults, we as children, we play, and we're kind of, you know, unfiltered and excited to explore and really funny. Like, kids are hilarious. So the more play and humor you can use. So as adults, at some point we've gone through being shamed and we realize, oh, if we do this, we'll be judged. And so we shut down a lot of parts of ourselves. And so many adults, not all, but many adults, you know, go through that process. And then, so as an adult, it's hard to access that because it brings up feelings of like, people are going to laugh at me. Even if you're in a room of 30 kids, you're like, that kind of stopper of truly expressing that part of yourself is stopped because of so many years of feeling that way. So if you can overcome that and even like practice, like let's say you're teaching in Japan and you're like, oh my God, my kids are out of control. If you bring in puppets to like teach lessons and you practice in your home, like just with a sock puppet or whatever, like that is so amazing, even with adults. So it doesn't really have to be necessarily a particular age. So practicing, you know, character voices and then you can teach through that. And then that really engages and creates sparks for the kids that you're learning with.
Yeah. You should bring your puppet onto the subway in Japan. That'll definitely give you more space. Okay. Now, there is something happening out there in the ESL world, which kind of amazes me in some respects, because a lot of teachers are teaching kids English online.
Right.
But we're here in North America and we're teaching kids in China. Mm. And I'm like, wow, how do you do that? You know, that's a challenge. What do you think about that? What do you recommend in terms of those types of teachers?
You know, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, I haven't done that, but a friend of mine is doing that and has been for the past year, and she's enjoying it. I think the biggest thing is being authentic. So if you authentically care, that comes through a phone conversation, that comes through video, that comes through, you know, you don't have to be in person to have that feeling there. The second thing is humor. So, you know, humor kind of interrupts the seriousness of something. So let's say that child, like, you know, children have certain reasons why they're studying, and there's a lot of pressure, as we know, in Asia to accomplish high levels of English speaking and, like, you know, like different things. So you never know why your student is there. And so the more fun you can bring to it, the more joy, the better. So I think being authentic, caring about your student, and then, you know, being playful, making jokes, that communicates that you're really connected. Play is the language of children. So if you can speak that language, you know, they're going to be able to learn English, and it's like picking up, you know, it's giving them vitamins in kind of a sweeter form.
And you know what? I'm just thinking, because of your puppet play, you could actually have a puppet play over the video network.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really cool.
Oh, yeah. It could be hilarious. Like, you could be, like, you know, rowing a boat and, like, disappearing downstairs. Or you could do a lot of things, like peekaboo. I mean, you could totally play peekaboo on a video format.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I do my podcast in my pajamas here. So, you know, I don't know how that looks when the video screen comes up in China. Okay. I mean, that's fantastic. We talked a lot. I'm taking a lot of time here. So we're gonna have to cut it short and talk about some of the other topics we were going to discuss on another episode. Will you come back, Rainbow Fairy?
Of course.
All right. You're amazing. And thank you so much for another lively chit-chat. Chinwag.
Absolute pleasure. Absolute pleasure.
Right. So you can follow Rachel at www.rachelweinstock.com or on her Instagram, Miss_Rainbow_Fairy. All right.
Oh, it's actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to correct you. It's M-I-S-S.
M-I-S-S, my apologies.
Yeah, underscore, yeah.
M-I-S-S_Rainbow_Fairy on Instagram. You will not be disappointed following Rachel's Instagram and Facebook and all of that stuff. She's a treat online.
Thank you so much, James.
All right, take care, Rachel. We'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information. Now, let's check James's inbox. Send us your questions about studying, traveling, or teaching English at www.thejamesriceshow.com. Now, James's inbox.
Yes, you can send your comments and questions through the website, but you can also send it through our new Facebook page, which is facebook.com/JamesRiceShow. So you can easily and quickly send us your messages through Facebook. Now it is time to catch up on some of your comments that you've sent me. And I know I've fallen a bit behind on answering some of your comments, but we do get them and we do read them. Okay, so we love to hear from you guys and we love questions too. So don't be shy with those questions. Let us know what you guys are thinking out there. Now, the first one from Elsa, I'd like to receive the Study It textbooks in order to have extra activities for my students, grammar, conversation, listening. Thanks in advance. And Elsa is from a bilingual primary and secondary school in Argentina. Now, Elsa, I can't say the name because it is in Spanish and it's a little bad. My Spanish is a little bad. Your name is good. So we have sent you a new textbook. I would love to hear what you guys think about all of those activities. And I know talking with some of the teachers, they love the Study It textbooks for the activities that we've got in the textbook. They're very modern and they kind of connect with students doing a lot of activities that they enjoy. So I know I've got that feedback from teachers, and I hope your students enjoy the different activities. Even if you don't use it as a class set or you don't use the Study It series for all of your students, you can still use them for the amazing activities and ideas that we have in there. And, you know, that's why it won the digital book of the year, the digital textbook of the year, beating all those Pearson and all of those other big publishers out. Marcelo de Barros from Brazil wrote, "You are an amazing man.
Thank you, my friend Marcelo. He is an old student of mine and has subscribed to the James Rice Show letter. Thank you. I hope your wife is doing well, and I hope you guys are doing well. I do see you on Facebook, and you guys look great. I will send you that textbook. I haven't. I know we're a bit slow on that, but we will get you. We will send you out a textbook, Marcelo. Next. Here is one from me mom. Me mother. Yes. Great podcast. Thanks, Mom. But I am not 80 years old. Don't rush it. Yeah, she's not. She's 79. I throw those jokes in here about my mom because, she says she's listening. And, I want to make sure that she catches these jokes. So I put them in there and as a little test. But I'm worried my podcast put her to sleep. So she definitely heard that joke. I can tell you that much. From Sarah. Do you know any online site that gives TEFL or TESOL certificates? I need one, and I hope you'll give me a cheaper option. Okay, Sarah, so I see and hear this question quite a bit about where can I get my TESOL certificate online. Okay, first, if you guys have some teaching experience already, and if you've taught for a year or two, maybe abroad, without your TESOL or TEFL certificate, then I would agree with you and say, yeah, it's okay to use an online site. But if you have never taught before, I don't want you to do the online stuff. Okay, go to a school and get a certificate. Why? Because you get teaching practice. You need to stand up in front of students and teach, even if it is just a practicum, even if it is not, real teaching, as they say, or even if it's just a few students. It's difficult for students it's difficult for teachers to stand up and speak in front of students. That is a real talent, and it's something that comes with experience and something you can't necessarily get with the online certificate. So go to a real kind of TESOL school so that you can practice that. Now, if you have the experience and you want to do something online, then I recommend my friends at OnTESOL, www.ontesol.com, OnTESOL. They're very good. They use a lot of videos with different scenarios, and they do have all sorts of different price ranges, so you can check them out. So that's who I would recommend for an online certificate. From Kathy, what online platforms are out there for teachers who are independent and teach their own students? Yeah, Kathy, there are a lot. Preply, P-R-E-P-L-Y, is one that I've checked out, and they seem to be very good. They do take kind of a hefty commission, but I think they seem very reliable, which is always something that I like when I want to start out on something new in terms of the technology. Palfish is another one. iTalki, is another one that I hear out there as well. From Ariana, why don't we eliminate the label non-native and start using bilingual? Yes. Why don't we eliminate the label non-native and start using bilingual? Yeah, very good. Very good. I could not agree more. You know, my kids are Japanese and English, so they speak, two languages. And in Japan, they are called halves. So half Japanese and half foreigner. And I never liked that term. And I always say, no, they're not halves, they are doubles, because they speak two languages. So why do we say there are non-native teachers or even non-native speakers when they're actually bilingual teachers, bilingual speakers? They speak two languages, and that should be elevated. I mean, that's better than people that just speak one language, so it's a much, much better term. And I agree totally with you, Ariana. I will try to incorporate that language into my mainframe computer. That is my brain. All right. Thanks, everyone, for your comments. Great to hear from you. And remember now, you can go to the website, www.thejamesriceshow.com, to leave your comments, or on facebook.com/JamesRiceShow. And you can just message us quickly any of your comments and questions as you're listening to the show. All right. Great, great questions and comments.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today. It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
This week, we are going to take a look at, or take a listen to, idioms that are related to studying. Yes, because you are studying English. Now, I know my class studies hard every week, right? Reading English books, right? Watching English movies, right? And of course, listening to the James Rice Show, right? I hope you are doing all of those things. So, here are some popular study idioms. All right, number one. Burn the candle at both ends. Burn the candle at both ends. This means that you are studying for a long time, especially into the night, okay? Or we sometimes say pull an all-nighter. Yeah, pull an all-nighter. So burn the candle at both ends is kind of an older idiom, and pull an all-nighter, all-nighter, is more of a newer idiom, if you will. And pull an all-nighter and burn a candle at both ends means that, you know, you kind of start studying at 6 p.m. and you finish at 6 a.m. That's a long time, all night long. How many times did I pull an all-nighter in university? Too many times, too many times. All right, number two, draw a blank. Draw a blank. Have you ever read a question on a test and what? Nothing comes to mind. You can't think of any answer, zero. That means you drew is the past tense, draw, drew, drawn. You drew a blank. So draw a blank means you just can't remember. You just can't remember. All right. Now, keep your, number three, keep your nose to the grindstone. Keep your nose to the grindstone. This means you gotta work hard. Work hard. Don't let outside people or parties or friends or girlfriends, boyfriends distract you from your task. Keep your nose to the grindstone. Keep your focus. All right. We also say knuckle down. Knuckle down. Now, what is a knuckle? A knuckle is on your hands. There are those little bumps on your fingers there, and on your wrist when you make a fist. There's little bumps. Those are called knuckles. So, if you keep your nose to the grindstone, or if you knuckle down, you will have success. All right, next one. In the bag. In the bag. Yeah, now this one means success is guaranteed. No problems. The test was so easy, I got 90% in the bag. Yeah, no problem. I always said that, but I always got much less. And the last one. Ace a test. Ace a test. This means to get a high score. All right. So I got 7.0 in IELTS. I aced that test, man. I aced it. All right. So you did really, really well on that test. So remember, my students, keep your nose to the grindstone, even if you have to pull an all-nighter, and you will never, ever draw a blank. And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at ConnectWithJames for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
Well, that was an exciting, jam-packed week, wasn't it? Wasn't Rachel amazing? You know, I still have not seen the Mr. Rogers film. Won't you be my neighbor? It's sad. Yeah, I know. I got to see it. It sounds amazing. And I recommend it to you guys out there. Especially, you know, some of my students have kids. So it's a great show for kids to learn English. And I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. Another great show, it's from Canada. I mentioned it as well, is Mr. Dress Up. That's a great show for kids to watch and learn English. Also, I'm sure it must be on YouTube. And I loved, with my kids, a show called Blue's Clues. Blue's Clues. And another great show for kids to watch and learn English. For the young ones. But even older kids, older adults, I should say, watched Mr. Dress Up here in Canada as part of our class. And I remember he was drawing an owl from a paper bag. And he created an owl from a paper bag. And I remember I put it on at lunchtime in our student lounge. And I just had it running. And I remember everyone in the student lounge was silent watching Mr. Dressup create an owl out of a paper bag. It's amazing. It was really amazing to see that he reached these adults too. And it's about how he spoke to the camera so that it looked like he was talking directly to you. And of course, Mr. Rogers did that as well. And Steve in Blue's Clues does that as well. And even sticks with me, you know, Blue's Clues, you know, there's mail time and lots of, you know, Mrs. Salt and Mr. Pepper and a lot of great characters that they had as well. So, you know, those are great ways for kids to learn. And also they're great shows for you to play for your children in your country. And you can, I'm sure you can find them on YouTube as well. So that was a great discussion. All right, guys, we're coming to the end of the James Rice Show for this week. And don't forget, follow us on our new Facebook page, James Rice Show. Okay, just put that in the search term, James Rice Show. And that's all one word if you want to do facebook.com/James Rice Show. And you can send messages to me through the Facebook page. You're going to see some of the stuff that we're posting up on Facebook, some of the videos, some photos, and some stories as well. And I hope you can follow us along there. It'll be a little bit more in line for our show. And, of course, on Instagram as well. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in this week. It is a great pleasure to bring the show to you. And I can't do it without your support and your interest. So I really appreciate everybody tuning in and listening and helping to grow the James Rice Show. Thank you, guys. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.